Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Happy Sunday to you fellas as well. Jinx, you owe me a soda for saying happy Sunday at the exact same time as me. I'll take a Mexican Coke, please.
Well, shotgun, I get front seat too. We doing this today?
Hey, speaking of Mexican Coke, you know, I think our fearless leader in the White House, he may have won me over with something recently. I know, bold statement. You're intrigued. You're speechless. He said,
"Can't talk. I'm jinxed, man. You got to say my name for that's how that works.
That's what?
Yeah, you jinx somebody like, and you yeah, you, that person can't talk until somebody says their name.
Oh, Rashad, what up?
Well, that's not good for radio.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm like, you just gotta.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I thought you literally had to get somebody a Coke. I like you have to go back.
Or
you don't have a vending machine.
Yeah,
or you have to count. You know, jinx. What do you think?
Yeah,
you owe me a soda."
Yeah,
it's so cute. You must have a crush on him.
But like, I have so many additional questions. Keep going, Joe.
Oh, he just said that he told Coca-Cola, "You gotta put cane sugar in the regular Coca-Cola.
Needs to be real.
It's the best sugar we've ever had." So he said that regular Coca-Cola, like in the can, like in the 2 liter, everything, because the Mexican Coke is the only one that uses cane sugar, and so he said, I want it badly.
Well, let's go one further. Let's just put the cocaine back into the Coke. Like, I mean, if we're going to go for it.
Did we really do that?
I think that was
Is that an urban legend or was that a real thing?
Early.
Like, I want cocaine back in my Coca-Cola right now.
Yeah. I'll confirm this on the Dr. Google. Thing. But like 1890, like 1905, 1910, there was coca in the Coca-Cola.
I know that we used to have like cocaine in medicines.
No, cocaine is considered a Schedule II narcotic. It is available at pharmacies.
Yeah, cocaine.
Cocaine. So for those of you who don't know, I don't know if you guys do.
I'm going to ask my girlfriend about this. She's a pharmacist. I don't know if I believe that.
A pharmacy tech. You can text her now.
And
I was a pharmacy tech at one point. You know, I went to Apollo College.
Uh-huh.
It was weird. But yes.
Where is that?
Yeah. Yeah, we got to keep that. But no, it was
we'll
one of those
how
things.
How far the show will take us? Mm-mm-mm-mm. A Huntsville Horde Sunday.
There you go.
I love you adding the.
Yeah, that was perfect.
That's how the song goes. Yes, I learned that cocaine is a Schedule II narcotic and can be, in some cases, can be got at a pharmacy by if prescribed by a doctor or pharmacist.
We don't have weed, but we have cocaine.
Yeah, one of those things, man.
I don't know if I believe that.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't lie, man.
Going to the Google
machine. Would I lie to you?
In the late 1800s, coca, wine, and other beverages containing cocaine were popular in the U.S. and Europe.
So one for one.
There you go.
Okay, I'll believe that.
By the early 1900s, concerns about the addictive nature of cocaine grew. In 1903, yes, so I was close on this, Coca-Cola removed cocaine from its formula.
Ah.
So what, 3 years of the old 1900s? We got cocaine?
You're fine.
It literally used to be considered medicine.
Want to go for two for two?
Well, do not read the AI overview. I don't want the Google AI overview.
Okay.
Well, that is an untrustworthy source. All right.
How about DEA.gov?
That's pretty good.
Is that better?
I mean, what do they know?
What does FBI.org know?
What do they know, really? I mean, have we stripped that department too? Huh?
Let's see. Let's type it in.
Dosed the hell out of it?
Yeah. Exactly.
God.
Are they really still got some cocaine in some pills, some pharmaceuticals?
I mean, there's amphetamines in pills.
Well, yes, I do know that. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'd believe it, but I'm also just like,
why?
I'm also thinking in the lab when they're making these pills, they're just cutting open a brick of cocaine and they're like, all right, taking a teaspoon and okay, here's some for that batch.
Yeah, see if this is good or not, putting it on their gums and stuff. I remember being in class.
It's like half baked over here.
I remember being in class at that point and our instructor telling us about cocaine being a C2. And I remember just thinking like, why? Like, what would be the medical use for coke, and what would need to happen for somebody to prescribe cocaine? Like, that was my whole thing, and I was like, I don't get it. So, but it is there. It's in a safe. I've seen it.
Okay, I am on healthline.com.
Just text your lady.
Healthline.com. She's probably still sleeping.
Okay.
Right. Cocaine hydrochloride, or medical cocaine, limited medical uses due to its high potential for misuse and addiction. But it is used in local anesthetics. Vasoconstrictor. I don't know what the hell that is. A diagnostic aid.
It kind of like stops your heart a little bit.
The American Academy of Otolaryngology Head and Neck Surgery recognizes cocaine as a valuable anesthetic and a vasoconstriction agent when provided by physicians as part of an individual's treatment. How about that?
Vasoconstrictive.
Two for two.
Did not know that.
I'd like to believe, though, that they're like, all right, you just had this head and neck surgery.
Here's some blow.
Yeah. Here's there a little baggie for
couple,
you.
Couple rails for you.
Here's an 8-ball.
Can I have some aspirin? We don't have aspirin, but we've got blow.
Yeah. Say what now? Yeah, I remember when I was in the hospital, and the doctor
got that
was like,
Columbia Bam Bam for you.
The doctor was like, "So we're gonna give you some fentanyl," and I was like, "Whoa, you're gonna what? No, you're not." Like, it was real quick. Like, I perked all the way up, and they were like, "No, no, you're not."
There's
like,
a video.
It's not that.
Yeah, there's a video of some kid. Same thing. They're like, "All right, we got you on some morphine. We have you on some fentanyl," and he's. Fentanyl.
Yeah, and he looked like seriously. That's it.
She had to stop her. She had to stop herself. She's like, no, not the bad fentanyl, the medicine type of fentanyl.
Yeah,
she's like, gonna say the good type of fentanyl. Didn't know there was a good type of fentanyl.
Yeah, like two doctors came in and they're like, we'd like to give you some fentanyl. I'm like, what for? What? No, no way. And then it ended up being okay, but still, I was pretty freaked out about it initially.
The text line says, and you can join us on this, these cocaine conversations. That sounds like
a great podcast.
That sounds like a mixtape, like a French Montana.
Seriously,
or
Future.
Would they allow
Pusha
that?
Pusha T. That's a great one for him. That'd be a great follow up.
Cocaine conversations.
Would they allow you guys just doing bumps on YouTube, just like continuing to talk on the mic? I'm not sure that's allowed.
What a radio bit.
Yeah.
Live next, we do cocaine on air.
the we're fastest kidding. Talking that podcast ever. Yeah. I don't think that would be great radio. It might be great, you know, it might be a great podcast to watch.
Listen, guys, I was watching sports last night, and I think I really had a great time watching
sports.
I saw that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be terrible.
Scottie Scheffler is the best golfer of all time. I swear to God, man. He's up by 5 strokes right now.
He dunks. He passes. Oh, my God.
No, text line said, John Pemberton, who developed the recipe for Coca-Cola, originally marketed it as a replacement for morphine, as he himself had become an addict after a bayonet wound during the Civil War. Now, that's a good historical fact right here on Sports
that's crazy.
Sunday.
Bayonet
so, wait, you'll automatically believe that, but when I said, like, you can get cocaine
oh,
in
AI.
A hospital, wow. It's like, oh.
The text line never lies.
Oh,
okay.
There we go.
They wouldn't lie to me. Yeah. They wouldn't lie to you, boy.
They are slightly better than the internet. Slightly.
No, yeah, for sure.
I do love in The Sopranos, whenever, like, Tony comes down with, like, a sickness or something like that, Carmen, his wife, is just like, drink a Coca-Cola. Like, that is
her terrible health
that
advice.
Is her yeah. remedy, which seems very, like, New Jersey Italian. Yeah. Like, remedy-wise. Like, here, have some gabagool.
Who told you that? Like...
Have a good serving of some pasta.
She kept Tony fat. Yeah, all the time.
I think I would say his career choices probably kept his stress levels high, and he was a stress eater.
That's a good point. I don't know.
See,
if
I'd
many,
be ripping at that gabagool in the fridge.
In any gangster movie or series, guy, I don't know of the like the Godfather or whoever the Don is being like an in shape guy.
Just not ripped.
Usually. Seriously, I mean. Pacino and Godfather, what, the two? Like, he's really the...
They live...
Well, and then Marlon Brando in the first
Marlon
one.
Marlon Brando
yeah,
in the first one. Yeah, like, everybody was kind of, like, husky.
They
everybody.
Live to old age, though. See, that's the thing with Gandolfini is rest in peace.
It's all those
dead
preservatives
on
in the gabagool.
Yeah, I suppose.
That, yeah, then you go
it's
out
real tomatoes in the sauce, though. That's what it is. Yeah. It's not, you know, processed sauce. They were eating the real stuff.
And then you go out on a 110-degree day, and you can't exist like the rest of us because... You ate yourself out. It's like, oh, damn, bro. That just, Gandolfini, that always makes me sad when we talk about him. He's great, but I was just like, God, I wish you were
can I make a Can I make a confession live on the show?
You never watched Sopranos?
No, I've watched Sopranos. I just didn't love it like everybody
Don't
else did.
Don't step.
It's a great show.
It was a good enough show, but I thought there were better shows on HBO than.
I'm more of a Wire guy.
The Wire is the greatest show ever made.
Yeah, I will second you on that.
Yeah, The Wire is the greatest show. Oz was amazing. I just finished watching that again.
Yeah,
that show.
J.K. Simmons is scary.
Oh my gosh,
that show. I have not finished Oz. I think I'm like still in season two. 2 years later,
it's hard to
but
watch.
That show is
once.
Jarring.
Oh
right?
my gosh,
there are some
lot.
Things that go down in that show. I remember one night I was like, "Hey, let's get back into Oz," and I was with my girlfriend, and there
She's
are some things
willing
that
to watch that.
She's
oh
I
my
mean,
wife stopped watching it. She would look at him like, yeah, this is there, I'm good.
Yeah, there was some things that went down in an episode where I was like, okay, I don't think I'm gonna put this on around her anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
It's probably a prison show, by the way.
She probably watched like saw it with me and she's like, what the hell is the matter with you? You will watch this out of entertainment? And right. then I say yeah. the same thing to her when she pops on Love Island.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Love Island.
At least there's
Temptation
hot people
Island
to look at.
Is pretty fun.
Oh, because they can't have them?
No, they can, but like it's not. So they'll take couples who are like having issues or whatever.
What about
which is
Cocaine
the,
Island?
Which is a crazy. I think that would be way more fun.
Let's do that. That would be
Cocaine
would,
Love
I'm
Island.
I'm almost for sure that it's happening already on those islands. You're just not showing it. I'm almost for certain. So yeah, but it's one of those things. But these couples get a chance to meet other people who are not attached and they'll see where it goes. That's kind of fun to see who kind of falls and who shakes. But. Other than that, like, yeah, I can't get into a lot of the love shows. Although Netflix makes some pretty trashy dating shows that are pretty fun.
You can technically call Oz a love show. In its
I suppose there's love. There's love. There's love. I mean,
there's love and certainly hate.
There is kind of a love story on Oz, though. It's weird, but it's.
Actually,
really
the,
deep, but there is a love story on Oz.
What's the actress's name for The Sopranos? Edie Falco? Is that her name?
Yes.
Yeah,
the wife?
She's also in Oz.
Yeah, she's in Oz, yeah.
Exactly. HBO does a great job of using all their people for other stuff. You'll find a lot of people from Oz in The Wire, right? You'll find a lot of people.
What is it? The Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. He is Mayor Carchetti in The Wire.
Yep. So they'll do that quite often. They don't do it anymore, but HBO used to make... the best movies. Like, I mean, the Mike Tyson movie, if you've never seen it, with Michael Jai White playing Mike Tyson, who's done the best job of Mike Tyson. Anybody playing Mike Tyson in anything, he was amazing in that movie. The Don King movie with Ving Rhames playing Don King.
Gotta throw in 61 with Barry Pepper and Thomas Jane.
61.
Yeah, Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle.
Rebound. Yeah. I got one for you. You ever heard of Earl Manigault?
Earl Manigault?
Earl the Goat Man. The term goat comes from him because he was considered by most people in New York the greatest basketball player ever. And they made a movie about him in like 96 starring Don Cheadle. Awesome. You can actually watch it on YouTube at this point, man. But it is a great movie, man.
Love Don Cheadle.
Rebound. And Kareem in his very last game when Chick Hearn is interviewing him and asking him who's the greatest player he's ever played against, he said it's the GOAT. And yeah, that's what that is, man. So check out Rebound if you ever get a chance.
Another 100% true fact on the text line. A fun fact, actually. Someone says that in the 80s, Pablo Escobar hired a group of pharmaceutical doctors to create a Coca-Cola with the cocaine back in it. Those are the type of hobbies you can enjoy when you have $20 billion in cash.
I'm behind that. What a party. Like, you don't even need any party favors. You can just bring a case of Coca-Cola.
That would be a
everybody
gets
down.
I thought you were going to say a case of Coke.
Oh, no. It's still, I mean, it's, I don't know. That's such a weird thing to see.
Cocaine.
So I would rather just drink it out of a bottle.
Cocaine rap is going to have a hell of a 2 weeks, though. Just got the new Clips album with Pusha T and Malice, which if you are a hip-hop fan, if you are a rap fan, my God. And yeah, spend your time listening to that over and over
and
over
again. It's definitely the best album of the last couple years, maybe since King's Disease, you know, but this album goes...
It gets better with every listen.
Oh, for sure.
And then Freddie Gibbs is going to release a new album, Alfredo 2.
Spready Freddie, huh?
What?
I'll tell you in the break. Don't worry.
I don't like that nickname at all.
Yeah, I'll tell you
later. Hey, yeah, Gibbs is my guy. Do not besmirch Freddie Gibbs, okay?
I love Freddie Gibbs.
Do not.
He's one of my. He's one from Gary, Indiana. That's where Michael Jackson's from.
Yep. But he'll have a new album in a couple weeks. So cocaine rap back on the menu. Cocaine.
I heard Michael Jackson beat up Tupac.
Beat up?
Yeah. That's the rumor.
Gives him a right hook.
Because Michael Jackson was a Crip. You know that, right?
What?
What?
Listen. Wait, oh. This sounds crazy.
This is not an urban legend, right?
No. Look it up. There's pictures of Michael Jackson throwing up cookies with his Crip friends, man. I'm telling you.
Get out of here with that red shirt. No, well, yeah, you're not
supposed to
wear
that. I'll tell you more about it.
Like, what world am I living in?
Listen, number one, Gary, Indiana is one of the hoodest places that you'll ever find.
I mean, can't say I've been to Gary, but I've seen plenty of pictures and listened to plenty of Freddie Gibbs. And it looks like one of those Iron Belt... towns of the 50s and 60s, I was thriving.
Sure.
Everybody wants to move to Gary, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Plenty of economic opportunity out here.
Yeah, if you want to work at the factory. I don't even know what they do at the factory. Just,
and now
you know, that's where
it's
you're gonna work,
just though. An absolute just shell of itself. Just.
And those, Michael Jackson grew up with like six brothers, and they all had to fight because everybody thought that they was pretty boys and everything. So, yeah. Michael Jackson is, look it up. I'll show you some pictures on YouTube. Michael Jackson and his Crip friends.
Well, yeah, I'm reading that he lent his hand to like help the Crips and Bloods like form a truce. Like that might.
Yeah,
be
that's where that gif comes from of him taking the gun and pushing it down. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course. Of course. But I'm telling you, man, I can tell you more.
Well, enough of this cocaine talk, because I feel like the city of Portland, we all got pretty high the other day after a certain announcement. My God.
Standing straight up.
Went from 6 to noon real quick, huh?
Man, I think there's a lot of cocaine being used for a lot of people around the Northwest.
Yeah, I was inside Costco and I just started telling people.
Shaking the lady, giving samples of biscotti. Dave's back!
Yeah, I was shocked. I thought somebody was pranking me. I was like, get the F out of here.
Get your hands off me! Yeah, we're probably going to spend a lot of this show talking about the big news in the city of Portland from this week. And that is not just city of Portland, in the NBA. The landscape was shooketh. Damian Lillard is a Blazer once again. We get to that next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Your home. Your savings. your children.
I've just been partying so much. It was Thursday. I think all the days are blending together.
It was Thursday afternoon.
It was right about 250, two something like that, because I remember thinking, oh, they're going to have a ball with this on.
I believe
there.
It was 221.
Isaac Rupp said the exact time that Shams dropped the bomb.
I think it was an Orem. A Bill Orem bomb. That's what Dirt and Spiker telling me is that Bill Orem was the first one to tweet it out.
Well,
so.
can I just stab myself in the heart?
No,
I apologize. Here we go. I hate it when the national media gets huge credit. Shams gained so many followers because of this announcement, I'm sure, when it was actually our Bill Orem here in Oregon. Like, congrats to him. Damn it. Give him the correct credit. I wish ESPN would just like be like, you know what? This was actually Oregon Live's Bill Orem. But no, they pay Shams, so they're Shams.
Where were you guys? What were you doing?
I was on the couch just watching, trying to find something to watch, and it was really tough to do so. But then I get a phone call from my guy, and he was like, bro, did you hear? And I was like, did I hear what? And the news, it just broke within like 3 or 4 minutes. And it was like, did you hear him? Did I hear what? Dame just signed a 3-year deal with Portland. I said, what? Like, what? And then I go and look at Bleacher Report, and sure enough, Damian Lillard back to Portland, 3 years, $43 million. What the hell? Like, I turn to my wife and go, I just kind of laughed because it was like, oh, this is crazy. And turn to my wife and go, yo, Dame is back in Portland. And she's like, I know, like, he lives here. Like, and I was like, nah, he signed with Portland, 3 years, $43 million. And she was, what? And then all of a sudden, everybody is texting and everybody, man, are you seeing this? Are you, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, part of me is like, was at first like, yeah, you know, this is what happens when, you know, when you leave a good relationship and hit the streets and find out the streets don't love you, you know, the same
baby
way.
I was wrong.
And then they come back and was like, yes, I was wrong.
Take
that's my
me back,
fault,
please.
But ultimately, like, this was two things. Number one, officially, this is the greatest free agent that Portland's ever signed.
Yeah,
that's number one.
Yeah, like,
it is. No, that's we've had the conversation.
Listen, I'm a big Brian Grant fan, but I love me some Rasta Monster.
This is it, though. Like, I mean, it's Damian Lillard. That's number one. So we can get rid of that narrative.
If only we would have signed Hedo Turkoglu.
No, man. I mean, that was it.
Thank you, Hedo's wife.
He ended up sucking the next year. So I think we did a good thing by not, you know, signing Turkoglu. Like, he was at the end of his.
But he just was in the right spot. If he was in Portland, he would have been an All Star.
Probably.
You know, let's branch off and make this a Hedo Turkoglu segment. And what could have been?
Yeah, are we talking about Sacramento Kings Hedo Turkoglu? Because yes, we can talk about that guy. Because the dude is about to come to Portland was trash. So on the one hand, like, yes, they fill that void as far as like, hey, no free agents ever come here. But then too, this is the much needed shot in the arm that I think Blazer fans needed. I mean, because losing Dame was by far and away the saddest moment in Trailblazer history, next to Game 7, 2000. Like, I don't mean like that was a huge, huge shot to the ego of Blazer fan, to that Dame, you know, didn't want to be here anymore and didn't want to do anything. And then so to hear that, to hear your superstar say that, it was kind of like, who would ever want to come here now after your star, who's been down with you for, you know, 11 years, is like, yeah, I don't want to be here anymore. But the fact that he came back. And more than that, the response from the rest of the league that he came back was like, everybody knows now with this conversation about ring culture being like the top of a lot of arguments right now, for Dame to say, man, I tried the ring chase thing. It clearly didn't work as well as I wanted it to. Hell, he's made it further in Portland than in Milwaukee in the playoffs.
It's true.
So, you know, man, it's grass ain't always greener. And let me go home where I know they love me, where I know they respect me, where I know I am a legend. I am, in most people's eyes, not mine, but in most people's eyes, the greatest trailblazer to ever live, right? And so why wouldn't he come back to a city and to a team that covets him as more than just a basketball player, but as a piece of this community? And so I think that's the main thing. So I love Dame for making that decision. He could have went anywhere. And I don't know what other teams were offering him. But a part of me was kind of confused, like, why Portland? Like, you're still going to be able to play a little bit, even if it's a limited role off the bench. Like, he can shoot, so he's going to be able to shoot for the next 5 years if he really, really wants to play. So I was kind of confused about why Portland, You know, and I'm not sure who offered him money or as much money as Portland did. Maybe they offered him the most and it was easy for him to make that decision. But I'll be curious to know who else offered him what, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we'll get that information.
It'll come out eventually, but not yet.
I wonder. I don't think many offered more than a mid-level exception, which is what he got in Portland, the $14.1 million salary or whatever. But when you hear contenders were offering that as well as the minimum, you think Boston, you probably think L.A. Like
Golden State.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All these teams that have that mid-level exception right now. So I think you don't really even need a report to come out. You can kind of put the pieces together. And if I were any team contending with that, that's the first call you make.
I mean, instant reaction for me. I was driving in the car, totally not using my cell phone.
Hey,
that'd be dangerous.
Don't do that.
I mean, come on, who would do something like that? And started seeing the tweets come out, and you know, had to check the account of the Twitter accounts multiple times so I wasn't getting butt cracked or ball sacked or NBA sentineled. Take your pick. I'm sure. When I say that, I'm sure my dad's listening, and he's like, what the hell is he talking about?
What are these guys talking about?
NBA
Sentinel? You just turn on the radio, and the first thing you hear.
But
you just sounded like Weenie in the Butt, and it was awesome.
But, yeah, I mean, my instant reaction, I think it wasn't, like, this isn't shocking that he's coming back to Portland. I think it was more so soon, happening right now, at this point, like, I was anticipating maybe a little bit later, maybe him even now. What's nice is that obviously he's getting paid by the Bucks this year, but now the Blazers are going to be paying him this year too.
$70 million a year. Ooh.
Yeah. To rehab and chill and be with your family and do it in the city that you love. But I think just the timing of it is what caught everyone off guard.
Like, oh yeah.
I think I didn't anticipate it for it to happen this soon. I know it had been talking about. I mean, I think that a lot of people felt, I personally felt that he was going to try the ring chasing a little bit longer and go to a Boston or a LA or a Golden State, go to Golden State, Oakland, Bay Area where he's from and try it for a year or two and then do the swan song one last year in Portland. But
no, that's what I expected.
He's closing it out in Portland all the way. Like, and I tweeted out a couple weeks ago, you know, my feelings on the whole Dame coming back, reunion. And, you know, there's a whole other side to this coin as far as, like, you know, being a Blazer fan that we all are. Like, this is awesome, right? Like, you have that instant joy. Like, the best player in our franchise history, a guy that's meant so much, a great human being in the community. And just, like, you know, let's also face it, like, he's doing this because he wants to be closer to his kids. Like, we know the story that his wife and him, they divorced a few years ago. And when he went to Milwaukee, his ex-wife and the kids did not. And so one of the tweets I said, I was like, unless he wants to come back here so he can be closer to his family, his kids, winning be damned. Like, that's the only reason why I see him wanting to come back here. And that's what he's doing. Like, that has got to be priority number one for him. He's like, I can come back to Portland because I am close to my kids and I can spend more time with them that I've missed out on the last couple of years. And I'm going back to a city and a franchise that loves me, that I've loved, and I get to finish out my career in this city. But yeah, man, I just think that the instant reaction for everybody was shock. Yeah, it was going to happen at some point, maybe in a couple years, but right now? All right, let's do this.
Can I add to that it was just instantly a happy feeling to be a Blazers fan again? Like, I went in about 5 seconds from hating this organization, still being pissed off at them getting rid of Damian Lillard, to now willing to open them back up, you know, in my heart. Like, hey, I love you. Give me a hug. Like, let's go back to those good old feelings that we used to have. Well, and for everybody saying, because there's so many detractors out there that are saying, like, well, why is Portland doing this? They're thinking with their heart, not their head. Bullsh. Why doesn't he fit on this roster? Please explain to me that, because he fits on so many different spots around the NBA. And yes, they're not competing for a championship, but he fits. It's not just nostalgia.
I think the reason that people would say, where does he fit, is initially kind of what I was saying. You know, the biggest thing for the Blazers, we've talked about it, is you have a lot of guards And now you have a lot of centers. And so it's like you have a lot of two positions. And I think that was the reason people were like, where's the fit?
Well, and we've got a lot to get into about this. I actually wanted to get into next about, you know, what is the focus for this upcoming season, knowing that you have a Damian Lillard second tenure on the horizon in a year. So what that looks like, again, the roster fit, there's a lot of things that are still left to be figured out here. But I wanted to just read this message from my sister the other day that laments what you were saying, is that needing a shot in the arm, needing a star, needing some life in this franchise. And she said that my brother-in-law and her talked the other night or hadn't talked about the Blazers in forever, and just the night before said they needed a star player again to get the franchise going. And you know, this is my sister, she is a sports fan, my brother-in-law more so, like he's the one that puts it on the TV, and my sister will watch the Braves games with him, Blazers games, you know, whatever is on, disc golf if he's putting it up on YouTube. But you know, the fact that even she's like, man, we don't even care about the Blazers anymore. Like we need someone, we need something to give us some life, some juice in this franchise. And that's Yang Hansen. Oh, no, it's Damian Lillard.
Well, but, I mean,
hey, we can, all get wrong. We can get to him in the second hour because I wasn't here last week. I know you guys talked some Yang.
Talked a little Yang.
Yeah. Talked a lot of Yang.
But we are, we're up against it. Let's take a break. I do want to talk about like, what is the focus for this upcoming season now? And like what, how, not so much how's it going to go, but again, like knowing what is on the horizon, and that's going to be kind of the weird part is like, all right, we got Dame back. We want him back now, but we got to wait. So what is the feeling, the vibes, the focus for this upcoming year for the Portland Trailblazers and the fans at large? You can text in 503-864-6326. Also on the YouTube chat, but we will get to that next year, Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. But first, Jordan Schultz with the Sports Center update.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, I know you like your white boys. I saw you.
Color me bad?
I saw you downtown at the Pride Festival.
Don't, Joe.
Wait, my God. How did I see you there?
You were there too?
Wait a second.
They have great food down there.
Guys, I might have seen you from a balcony there.
Sausages and...
Yeah, they had great food there.
Bananas and... Honey buns.
I did go to the Jazz Fest yesterday, though.
Oh, the... Cathedral Park. Yeah, my
you
wife and I were
today.
Thinking about going.
You should go. Totally free.
I saw that. My wife and I ended up at the Robin Hood Festival, another free event down in Sherwood.
Hey, as a Sherwood alum, as a former Sherwood resident, I am familiar with the Robin Hood Festival.
I've got so many questions, but...
Oh, it went down. By the way, from about 7 p.m. on, there were a lot of hungry eyes in the crowd listening to music, if you know what I mean.
Looking at men in tights and their bulges.
Yes, and just each other. There were men and women that were... It was...
fair lady.
My wife literally was like, there are a lot of hungry eyes around tonight.
Yeah, yeah, man.
It goes down at the Robin Hood Festival.
It looks like it.
Sign me up for next year. A
lot of hotties, too. They were
from 10 a.m. to about 5 p.m. You know, that's when the families are out there, you know, doing the little puppet shows and, you know, all the, I don't know, Renaissance Festival crap that they do there.
I'm curious, Jordan, how many black families did you see there?
Actually, my wife
in
and I
Sherwood,
were,
tons.
My wife and I were counting minorities. In the tent that we were eating at Clancy's.
White people usually do.
Probably five.
Jordan with his arms folded. There's too many of them. Here.
No!
One, two, three. That's enough.
We were saying that's there it. Weren't enough.
Hey! That's a stage announcement or something.
Get him here!
Where's the manager?
listen, something about again, this. As someone who grew up in Sherwood, I will assure you, Rashad, wasn't there at the Robin Hood Festival. But probably not a lot of minorities.
No, I can imagine.
At the Sherwood Robin Hood Festival.
I can imagine. It's all good. But
plenty of turkey legs, I'm sure.
Actually, Rashad.
Love a great turkey leg.
Turkey legs.
Gotta be honest.
Meads of horn, or horn of mead.
Should have brought you. It would have been fun. Like, we were sitting there eating. We were smelling people smoking some substances in the tent. Like, it was quite the time.
Sounds like a good time, to be honest, man.
No cocaine, though, in Coca-Cola, unfortunately.
Did they have that in the Renaissance era?
A lot of people are not going then.
Right?
Try this. My fair lady, ye old cocaine.
I think they still used milk of the poppy.
Huzzah!
Use what now? Sorry?
Milk of the poppy.
Oh.
Like in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Basically, heroin.
Heroin.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, well, okay.
Stronger.
You know, like the
milk of the poppy. The poppy seed. Yeah.
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 Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, well, there's a wasted segment.
Cool.
Let's get back on the clock. How about that? All right. I know that we just came back, but I want to give enough time... to the Portland Trail Blazers here, even though we just wasted the segment.
I think we got a lot of time to talk about Blazers today.
Yes, we do. Well, you know, we might have to carve out a seggy for what's going down across the pond over there in the open at Royal Portrush, because there is a dude that is just laying it on the table and saying, how do you like that?
Is it the dude we're always talking about?
Yes. Rory McIlroy?
Definitely
dude, I think
him.
He's going to win it.
Definitely not your favorite golfer. Your favorite golfer? Definitely not him.
God. Dude, I was...
You love Rory so much. You know you do. Dude, stop doing just... that.
You know
stop
how many...
Stop doing that.
Yesterday, Mike Tirico on the broadcast is like, wow, this is one of the most amazing scenes probably in any major and in the history of this major. Look at the crowd right now trying to form around Rory McIlroy. I'm like, he is six strokes behind.
He's got a video game, bro. Do you have a video game?
He's six strokes behind.
You know how many alerts I got yesterday? Rory McIlroy surging. And then I checked the score. I'm like, no, he's not. What the hell are we talking about?
Okay. All right. Now I'm triggered. I need to get my blood pressure down a little bit. Let's take a break and come back. And again, what does this mean for the Portland Trail Blazers next year?
The Blazers brings your blood pressure down now?
Yes.
Actually.
It's okay. All good now.
A little bit.
We're fine now, all right? No worries, right? We do that next year, Sports Sunday, 10 to the Fan. I'm curious, though, what does next season look like? What is the focus? I feel like the elephant in the room is, as far as like who the pressure is on this year, it's one Scoot Henderson.
I was going to say something else, but okay. I like where you're going.
Well, I'm curious. I mean, like, what do you, I feel like that is one part of like, hey, this year, where are the eyeballs? Where's the attention? What's, you know, who matters on this roster going forward and that we need to see you know, results from? Like, is it like Drew Holiday? Is this a 1 year thing with him where it's, you know, we'll see what Drew still has in his bag. And if he has something, then he's on the team when Dame comes back too. Like, again, what is the focus for this year, knowing that Damian Lillard is going to be on this team the following season? And also, like, do we anticipate that Dame is going to be coming off the bench when he comes back? No. Like, I would think that he is going to be a starter when he comes back. So, again, I'm just very curious to – I think everybody's curious what this team is going to look like. And it's funny that we're, like, trying to preview a Blazers team two seasons from now. But this is where, again, the focus and the vibes for this upcoming season, it's shifted a little bit. It has changed with this Damian Lillard acquisition.
It has. It definitely has.
Even though he's not going to play. It's a very interesting, bizarre situation.
I think this is a great opportunity for Dame to become a great player coach, almost, you know, because that's what he's going to be for this year. He's going to serve as, like, he's going to be two things. He's going to be a mascot of sorts for the Blazers.
Well, and Sprague said it the other day, like, bringing him in, this is one of those, like, locker room culture franchise setting moves where he comes in and he's like, hey, this is what we do here. Like, he is going to be the dude everybody looks to, even when he's not playing.
Having Dame this year is like having a celebrity owner. Right,
it's like almost like that
face of the franchise that you can look at and say, "Hey!" And look, during breaks, "Hey, remember when Usher was the like minority owner of the Cavaliers, or when Jay-Z was the minority owner of the Nets?" And they would always kind of talk about them. They almost served as mascots for the team at that point, and the team got notoriety because of it. I think Dame being here serves as something to say, like, "Okay, there's Dame. There's that figurehead that we're always used to seeing for the Blazers, and there's a little more hope when you see a guy like Dame on the sideline now." So,
you know what he is? He is our Master Splinter. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on this team. We got a bunch of
young, right now.
We got a bunch of young guys on this team, and he is Master Splinter, where everybody's going to look to, and he's going to tell them what to do, what the focus is, how they do it in Portland. That's how I like to look at this. And then once it's time for him to throw down, Master Splinter still had some moves.
No.
He can still get down.
He can still do it. He can definitely still do it.
Not what he used to be. He's not a spry ninja rat anymore, but still, when he needs to throw down.
In old age, you learn how to move.
He'll break out the kendo stick.
I do think this is an important year for Scoot. I think it's more important for Chauncey, though. You know, now that the Dame is back, and not just because of Dame coming back, because obviously that's going to take some time for him to get back on the court, but now you inherit a Drew Holiday. You get a Yang Hansen who looks like he's going to be able to play a little bit, and you get a chance to build on this roster that you already have. I think it's going to be tough for him because now you don't have many excuses after you get Dame back. But for Scoot, I think this is a great opportunity for them to pour into this young man. Drew Holiday's towards the end of his career. And if we're looking at numbers, just the numbers, right? Over the last couple of years, Drew Holiday's numbers are comparable to what Scoot's are at this point. And what Drew Holiday can do for Scoot is show him defensively, this is how you're able to lead your team. Scoot is already, in my opinion, a good defender on the wing against guards. I think he's a pretty good defender. He's stocky, he's strong. There's a lot that he can learn. And now that he's playing with a guy like Drew Holiday, he can teach him how to do things defensively that maybe he wasn't able to pick up on his own. I think that's the one thing. And then Drew can show him how to do things easily. Like, is Drew Holiday the most athletic dude? Like, mind you, He's big, he's strong, he's athletic, he's all those things. But is he the most of any of those things? Not really. But he's smart, he's heady, he's strong, he knows how to get to his spots, he knows how to make other guys better on the floor, and then he can change the game defensively. If you can really teach Scoot some of those things, I think he can learn a lot more from Drew than he can learn from Dame, because Ant can learn from Dame because Ant could shoot the ball. He could shoot that thing like crazy. You know, so he can learn that sidestep, and although Scoot is not the shooter that Anthony Simons was. But Dame can still teach him a lot as far as how to initiate an offense and how to run this offense and everything. So I think he can stand to learn a lot from two guys that are going to the Hall of Fame. And just be honest, Drew Holiday is, you know, a sixth man of the year, all those things, NBA, two-time NBA champion, probably at some point going into the Hall of Fame.
Olympic champion.
Olympic gold medalist. Dame, also an Olympic gold medalist, nine-time All-Star, you know, multiple-time All-NBA, is going to the Hall of Fame, more than likely one of the top 75 all-time. that guy can stand to learn a lot. And then, oh yeah, your Hall of Fame coach, who was also a champion and who also kind of played basketball the same way as Drew Holiday. You know, if you kind of look back at Chauncey's career, he had a better jumper than him, but kind of played the same way. I think you can stand and learn a lot from those three minds at one time. Scoot is already at this point averaging about the same numbers Drew Holiday's been averaging for the last couple of years. So you give him a couple of tricks of the trade, then I think this is going to be a big, big year for Scoot.
Well, it has to be.
It's a show and prove year. Anyway, this is year number three. Yeah, like, you have to prove this.
It has to be a big year for Scoot.
Can I chime in that if they don't, you're kind of given two gifts, right? If you're Scoot Henderson, learning from two of the best point guards in the league right 100%. Now.
Honestly, could you think of a better point guard-guard combo?
No.
Like, I'm going to learn offense from one of the best offensive players of our generation, and I'm going to learn defense from one of the best defensive guards
that's
of our generation.
Like getting,
honestly, Kobe
like,
and Gary Payton. That's the only other time I can think there's been two great guards on the team that can really show you how to do X or whatever.
That's like
I can't
getting
think
Aaron Rodgers and Michael Vick to teach you how to play quarterback if you're like a rookie. Like, you get the guy that knows how to throw, you get the best runner in history in the NFL at quarterback. Like, this is the best situation that Scoot Henderson could literally stumble into, and if he doesn't take advantage, Portland's moving on. I don't think there's much question about that.
This
is
the
last season that he has to show up.
I think the one thing about Scoot is he's continued to respond. Mind you, his minutes got cut this year. He got put on the bench, and he was still averaging about the same that he was averaging when he was a starter. And I think now that you give him an opportunity to be the starter, well, we'll see what happens. Drew Holiday's there, so probably not. But if you give him the opportunity to, because he's going to be on the bench more than likely. So what is he going to be able to do off the bench? I think this can be a big year for him. He starts averaging anywhere close to 16, 17 coming off that bench. Then we're talking about Scoot being sixth man of the year.
I don't know. I mean, this might be something that we do in the next segment. Talk more about Scoot and his role and what the season should look like. But I think we said it's like I can't think of a better two-guard, two-player mentorship program than Damian Lillard and Drew Holiday. Like, having those two guys, some of the most professional players in the league, business mindset, like, showing up to do their job, and their skill set being as different as it is, like, that is huge for this roster and Scoot Henderson. Like, it is it's a great thing to have in that locker room. I mean, I think you kind of made Drew Holiday a little bit happier by getting Dame in here. Because one, now Drew is probably like, all right, I don't have to be looked at as this, you know, mentor, veteran, like the guy that everybody's going to look to know how to be an NBA professional, to what to do on a night in and out, a night in and night out basis. Dame is essentially being added as a, you know, for this first year, like an assistant coach.
Yeah.
In reality. I mean, how much he's going to be, like, if he is at every home game and traveling with the team, like, probably not going to travel everywhere with them and go on every single road trip.
I expect to see him on big road trips, though.
But, I mean, would it shock you to see Dame on the bench for every home game or damn near every home game this season? No.
No.
It would not shock me at all.
Not at all.
He loves this team.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be very, very interesting watching this team in this season, how they develop from last year. But I think that just the type of energy that he's going to bring to this team just from not even playing. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how that translates. Because, have you ever seen someone be a star of a team and not be able to play for the whole season and, like, give them this much, like, juice and energy? Like, there's part of me where it's just like,
no, I've never seen it. I'm trying to think even back into football or anybody that's just kind of come out as a figurehead or just somebody that was there just in spirit.
Yeah, usually guys aren't with the team if they're injured, too. So that's another thing.
Yes, it's going to be real interesting. Let's take a break and get into hour number two, because I do want to talk more about Scoot. I want to talk about this team, what it's going to look like when Dame comes back, because I think there is a little bit being overblown, overplayed here a little bit about like what this team looks like over the next 2 to 3 years. Because, again, this is this is just such an interesting move overall, as far as where these dudes are in their career and for this franchise and how it fits with the team. It's just, there is a lot of questions and there's a lot of curiosity in how this all is going to work. I see you thinking over there.
I'm trying to think.
Don't hurt yourself.
Have we ever seen this? Have we ever seen a player that's still pretty much in a, not a prime, but, you know, towards the end of his prime?
No,
but
definitely not. Off of an injury. Not anymore. To be determined, but it's not anymore. Very much
towards
unlikely.
Towards the end of his prime, but still considered a superstar in this league or a star in this league. Has there ever, or any league, has there ever been a player that's gone back to a team after being away from that team for a couple years?
I mean, LeBron.
LeBron. LeBron is it.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan wasn't on another team, technically in the NBA, but he went to play baseball for a couple of years, came back, won three more titles. Like,
that's great company. Like, I mean, if there's, yeah, you know, as far as returning to a team, but like, yeah, but I mean, I would probably say Jordan retired and everything like that, but.
Well, you said away from the team for away a couple from, of yeah, years. So I don't, and he didn't retire. He went to play for another team, just in another sport. Like, it,
retired.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. What did he really do?
All right, let's take a break. Hour number two. Talk more about this Dame stuff. Maybe do a little Yang Han Sen talk. And we are about three holes away from having the Open in Royal Portrush wrapped up. Just to give you a quick leaderboard update, Scottie Scheffler, 17 under par.
Thanks for taking
at
my
the top. And they took the leaderboard away to show me a Rolex ad. So, you know, thanks
Rolex.
For that.
Rolex.
Yeah, we know. Rolex, really good watches. Oh, there we go. He has a 5-stroke lead, though, with 3 holes left over Harris English and some guy with the last name Goddarup.
Yeah, who, Chris Goddarup.
First time I ever heard his name. Wyndham Clark is 6 strokes back. So Scottie Scheffler very much in the driver's seat to winning his 4th major. Let's take a break. Hour number 2. Again, more Dame talk, Yang Hansen, and major golf talk here on the Fin Sports Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, 10 of the 10. Commercial break.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We were at the beer garden at
Jazz the Pride Festival. Yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
Right, keep going. And I got initially a cocktail token and got over there and it was like all cocktails that were in like cans. So I was kind of like, not really what I was looking for.
What are you drinking today, Thaler? What do you want?
It was like a coffee cocktail thing. I was like, yeah, I'm good. I traded with my wife.
Espresso martini.
My wife got a beer, and I got the little cocktail. And then it was espresso martini. That's exactly what it was.
Some of those
canned
cocktails are...
They're legit, but I was like, I didn't really want that. And so I just traded it with my wife, and I got the beer. But I was like, man, I forgot how delicious these were. Oh, my gosh, man.
Beer?
Man, I drank it so fast.
B-double-E-R beer.
Yeah. I almost forgot. I won't be having any more, but damn it, it was good for the second.
Hot take. Patrick Harris the other day, he brought in a pack of the champagne beers, some Miller High Life.
Yeah, my favorite.
So we were hella confused last week.
Yeah, is that what? Yeah.
What?
There were Miller High Life.
There was two High Life just on the table. I was like, what the hell are these High Life doing? Oh, yeah. I was like, are we sponsored by Miller right now?
No, Patrick brought those in. Just gonna say it, Miller High Life, not that good.
Really?
Bro, oh, you F bite your you. Tongue.
Not that good.
Yeah, you bite shut your tongue. Your mouth when you're talking
no.
to me, buddy.
Yeah. No, was not good. And quite frankly, 99% of domestic beer, not good.
Did you have it ice cold? I don't think
Joe
you had
was
it ice
a,
cold.
I think it was cold, but not ice cold.
Joe is bad and bougie.
And
that's
debatable,
like,
brother.
Well, and that's what I hate about domestic beer is like Coors Light does this. Like, oh, our beer, really cold.
Well,
it's like we made it really cold,
but you have to drink it cold out of the fridge too. See, if you get it out of a cooler, or like did Patrick, I know he brings in like a lunchbox sometimes with beer in it.
I don't know, he just brought it out of his backpack. I think he got it right
it's
from
never,
the store.
Well, that's never
I don't wrong. Think he just had it sitting in his backpack.
That's never good.
No, that sounds like a college
it was cold
beer.
It wasn't ice cold. It wasn't like, oh wow, taking my breath away.
You it was 44 degrees instead of a nice 37 degrees, and if it were 37, Joe, you would have been like,
either
refreshing.
Way, wasn't that good.
I will fight you on this.
It was a Miller High. It was the first Miller High Life I'd had in a long time, so I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Champagne and beers. That's what everyone tells me.
It is.
Well, I will tell you what. I had a Coors Light yesterday on the golf course, and I absolutely crushed that thing. That thing was gone in like two drinks. All right, I'll take a Coors Light, but
you're gonna S on
you.
A Miller High Life?
Get out of here.
Blasphemous.
Get out of here.
No, I'm sorry. Not that good.
I'll be honest. I'm not a big fan of craft beers.
Craft beers are a godsend.
Man, they're expensive for no reason. And
they are.
IPAs taste like earwax. There it is.
Me and sales guy Kurt, I forget what business or where we were looking, but the Google Photos had a photo of their beer tap menu from 2015, and it damn near brought a tear to my eye. Because pints of craft beer back in like 2015, it was like $5 for good craft beers.
I miss.
Remember when everybody was on the growlers?
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember the growler stage? You know that everybody was in. I didn't do it.
And then everybody ended up somehow at their house with like six different growler bottles and never.
Yeah. And what do we do with this now? What do we do with this now?
I've got at least two at home.
I don't have any growlers. I have to throw them joints away.
Oh, like empty ones or full ones right now?
Oh, empty. One has an Oregon logo on it, so it's more so like on display.
Yeah, I think I have the same one that you do.
I went to Goodwill the other day, and there was like 20 of them bitches on the shelf, like people trying to get rid of them. Like,
I'll go to McMinimins every once in a while because it's down the road from my house in Wilsonville to get like an IPA. But that, man, that's like once or twice a year.
I remember last year when I was getting ready to move, I just had a whole keg like in my backyard that was like halfway.
Hell yeah, dude.
You know, I worked for an organization. They were like, man, you can just take it. Like, we don't really need this one like we have others. I was like, man, cool. Kegs are super heavy. So, you know, put that joint in the car and then it stayed in my backyard after we started drinking it for like a year.
Well, speaking of beer, Scoot Henderson, no connection.
Fan of Rip City Ale?
I was like, wait a minute, keep going?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a very interesting year coming up for him because it's year three, and everybody, I think, is on the same page. He's got to make a leap. He's got to make a jump. How big of a jump, how big of a leap in points and assists and just overall impact on the game, you know, I guess to be determined, right? But I think that it doesn't have to be one of those, like, he's got to average 20 points next year and he's got to be at least 8 assists and be considered for all, you know. I don't think it needs to be anything like that. Lillard is technically on a 2-year contract after this year, and he's going to be 36 going into next year. Same with Drew Holiday. Unless Scoot just like S's the bed and shows that he is not ready and he is not reliable, and he even regresses. Like, that is a whole nother story. It's one of those, like, okay, you know, if he stays the same or even honestly, if he even stays the same production wise this year, I don't think it's the, like, complete end of the world. You are going into a stretch with some older point guards that can still get him ready over the next 2 to 3 seasons and gear him up for when he's a Blazer, when he's 24, 25. Like, let's keep it real here. Like, he's 21, just turned 21. I don't know how old is he, 20 still?
I think Scoot's 22 now. Let me check for sure.
I mean, he is still relatively young. Unless he has a regression or just shows that he cannot handle being the dude on an NBA team.
Yeah. 21 still.
21. So by the time that these Lillard and Drew Holiday contracts are over,
23, 24.
He's going to be 24. Like, that's, he very well could be in a position where he's like, dude, he has improved immensely over the last 3 years, that he is our guy. He is ready to take the reins. And I know as a number 3 overall pick, there are guys, I mean, when you're picked in the top 3, if you aren't doing it by year 3, then there are major red flags. But I just think there have been also examples of guys that are picked high in the NBA, fought in that top 5, top 10 range, that they don't pop until year 5 or year 6. I just, and this could be me with rose-colored glasses, but I just think that the whole, like, Scoot needs to take a huge jump next year. I don't think it needs to be a huge jump. Yes, he needs to show improvement. Yes, he needs to show improvement in his offensive game and show that he can be depended on in late-game situations. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think it needs to be this huge leap of improvement year over year for him.
Let me read some numbers off to the both of you guys, and you tell me who you think this person is.
All right, I'm going to try not to look at your screen.
Please don't. Year one, 8 points a game, 3.8 assists, 1.1 steal. Year two, 14 points a game, 6.5, is that rebounds? Assist a game, and 1.5 steals. Year three, 13.5, 4.5 rebounds, 1.6 steals a game. Who do you think that is?
Who? Is this
first 3 years in his league.
This a guard?
It is a guard.
Is it a guard playing right now?
It is.
Because I was going to say Antonio Daniels. That's my comparison to Scoot, but
right now in the NBA, first 3 years guard, was he drafted high? I'm gonna have to look that up. Ooh, I got you. I got you.
Let's see.
CJ McCollum.
Oh dear God.
That's my guess. No?
No, okay. By CJ's third year, he was averaging like 20 because Oh yeah,
the second year is when he had the playoff breakout. Thank you.
Just for the sake of time, I'm not gonna try and
it's Drew Holiday.
Huh?
Drew Holiday's first 3 years in the league looked incredibly similar.
Jordan hates it.
Looks incredible. No, well, his first 3 years in the league.
That's a weird comparison.
No. If you look at his numbers and you look at Scoot's numbers, his first year, Scoot did better than Drew Holiday.
I see you got the Basketball Reference. What was he drafted overall? Now I'm curious. I don't think he was too high.
He was the 17th pick in the 2009 draft, first round.
Right around that Young Hansen range,
so,
baby.
17th pick. But again, Drew Holiday is somebody that we're saying is probably going to the Hall of Fame based on his career and based on what he was able to turn into.
He also started in a different era with point guards a decade ago.
We can say whatever we want to, but the fact is, just because you're this now doesn't mean you can't improve. And I think that's what I'm coming from with Scoot. It's like, I think Scoot, for what he's done and what he's been given, first year he averaged 14 points as a rookie. Is that when did that become a bad thing? 14 as a rookie is bad all of a sudden?
His shooting percentage was ass.
He put up 14 points in the NBA, which is as a guy who's not known as a scorer.
Well, I'm saying
was able to do that.
If they let you shoot 20 times a game, you're going to do that regardless, and your shooting percentage is going to look like ass.
Hey, what was it last year?
2% better, I believe.
So he went from 38.5% to 42%.
Okay, 4%. I think the three-pointers got up about 2%, right?
32.5% to 35.5%.
I think what you're looking for is improvement year to year, whether it's small improvement or whatever. And so if you're telling me here's a guy who's going to go from 12 points to maybe he gets an additional 5 points and 17 a night, like all of a sudden we look at that as he's not good enough to play. Like every star in the NBA, Stephen A., doesn't have to average 20-something points. They don't. Chris Paul's averaged 20 in his career like once. That's it. Are we going to say Chris Paul's not one of the greatest point guards ever? Jason Kidd, I don't think he's ever averaged 20 in his career. Are we going to say Jason Kidd ain't top 5 point guard ever? Of course not. So I don't know that narrative that you need to average 28 points like Dame does. How about this? We're talking about point guards. Dame has never averaged 9 assists. Shouldn't a point guard average at least 8-9 assists a game? He's never averaged that. But we don't knock him for that.
He's gotten close.
He had 1 year where he had like 8. He had 1 year where he had that.
Yeah, I'm actually curious now. Well, how close did he get?
Point guard score in today's league. That's kind of what I was talking about.
That's what we do. We keep moving the goalposts for this young man. And I think, I don't know if how fair that is to him. We have to let him improve. And let's just be honest. He hasn't had the greatest situation here. Portland has not been a great situation. I don't care what anybody says. The head coaching situation is not awesome here. People believe in Chauncey. I'm not one of them.
Guys, we're already basically saying that, well, let's hope that he can be something. All of the pressure, trying to come up with that word, is squarely on him this year. And you look at third overall picks in past drafts, the Blazers already missed on this. Luka, Tatum, Joel Embiid, Jaylen Brown, like James Harden, LaMelo Ball, Bradley Beal, all taken, I could name more, all taken with the third.
A lot
pick
of those guys were not even
draft.
Available, though, when, I mean, like, oh, I see you're saying,
I'm
like,
just saying,
third overall.
I'm comparing third across the boards, yeah, like, for the last 20 years. And the Blazers missed here. Huge.
I just don't think you can say that after 2 years.
I mean, unless he ends up being a 2025 a game scorer, which I don't see a path for that to happen for him in Portland, then I
also
don't think
Jordan,
so.
I just think that you are so hung up on this Antonio Daniels comparison that you really do want Scoot to fail so you can just say that you were right.
No, I really do. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that the Blazers found a diamond in the rough, but we go back to what we originally heard, right? Which was, if it wasn't a draft that had Victor Wembanyama in it, Scoot Henderson would have been the number one overall pick. And actually, Brandon Miller even outplayed him. I mean, a lot of guys in that class outplayed him. So we're just, you talk about moving the goalposts. Like, it's not necessarily moving the goalposts, Rashad. It's that we're having to essentially accept that he's not going to be what we originally heard. So lesser is okay at this point. Maybe that sounds like me moving the goalposts. I don't know. I remember him being touted as Dame's replacement. And what was Dame? Multi-time All-Star, 25 points a game. I don't ever see Scoot Henderson turning into that.
If you can, I try to find like a website, because I know that Baseball Reference does this, where you can see like similarity scores for players through their second season or through the age of 22.
I can do a comparison of like their career so far of Antonio to Scoot. And actually, that's how I came to the conclusion that not only are they physically similar in stature, but statistics wise, I'm on Basketball Reference right now. I'll get to it here in just a second. Antonio Daniels, but they look very similar in statistics as well. And where was Antonio drafted, by the way? 97, fourth overall pick. Very same area as Scoot Henderson.
Again, I think that you are hung up on wanting to be right about this Antonio.
Yeah, and I'm not so much caught up in when somebody is drafted. Like that, Kawhi was at the end of the first round. Jokic was in the second round. Lots of teams passed on great players. Like, we're not the only ones there. There's a lot of teams that haven't won that are kicking themselves for not drafting a Kawhi or not drafting a whomever. So I don't want to say that's completely.
Go watch film. How about that? How about go watch some Antonio Daniels film? And then go watch some Scoot Henderson film.
I've seen Antonio play, and Scoot Henderson is better than Antonio Daniels. Let's just be 100% honest. And Scoot Henderson is
well, and I'm
already showing he's better.
And I'm looking at, you know, one guy that after 2 years in the league, same age, same overall pick, and Scoot, comparatively through the first 2 years, has done better than him. That's Baron Davis. If you tell me a Scoot Star. Henderson turns into a Baron Davis, I loved Baron Davis. One of my favorite
Star
players
in the NBA.
Up. Loved him and the Hornets. Loved him when he went to Golden State. If you tell me that Scoot Henderson is a Baron Davis, I mean, Baron Davis,
who was incredibly explosive like Scoot was. Like
first
Scoot
year,
is.
5.9 points per game, shot 42% from the field. Second year, 13.8 points per game, shot 42.7% from the field, 31% from three. And then he made the leap. He made an All-Star his next year with Charlotte. So
how many times did he average 20 in his career? 20 some, probably like three
times. Okay. Last year in New Orleans, he did it. And then he did it twice with Golden State.
He was an All-Star in his third season too.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That third year is when he made the leap. He averaged 18 points, still shot only 41% from the field. Made the jump in three-point percentage, 35.6, which is about the same that Scoot shot this year in three-point percentage. So,
And that's averaging five more points for Scoot to be there. You mean to tell me he's not worth an extra three buckets a game now in his third year? I think he would be.
Yeah. So
especially with Anfernee Simons being gone. We forget that part. Anfernee Simons took up a lot of shots for this Blazers team. And now that he's gone, somebody's going to have to take those.
Now, I mean, here's someone on the text line. No Blazers fan thinks Scoot has superstar potential anymore, but we think he can still have a Mike Conley ceiling. Dude, yeah, you give me Mike Conley in his career? That's sign me awesome. Up on that.
That's awesome.
Sign me up. And Mike Conley was... He was a top 10.
He was a lottery pick, yeah.
He was lottery, yeah, but...
The same year as Greg.
Fourth overall. I mean, you tell me that Mike Conley... that's the career arc for Scoot Henderson. I'll take that.
Yeah, a solid point guard. Because again, we can't poo-poo on the guy on the Andre Millers of the NBA. Like, I mean,
well,
honestly,
he's like the exception.
No,
the
I'm saying like we can't crap on those dudes because they do exist. Like, are they going to be all stars? Are they going to be, you know, considered they're going to have their own shoe and everything? No, but they're still a solid place in the NBA for guys that can run an offense. And I think Scoot can be one of those guys.
Yeah, I dumped it anyways. It kind of sounded like it.
No,
come on,
guys.
As soon as Joe's like, did you? I'm like, you know what? Okay.
Give me some credit.
Sorry. Well, you said shh, and then I think you were trying to say she or something, and it almost came out like she.
No, don't worry, guys. I learned my lesson that one time.
Oh, my God. And what a beautiful moment here at the Open as Roy McIlroy, he makes the walk up the 18th fairway to the green.
Only 10 under.
Down now. Seven strokes from the leader, Scotty Scheffler. But wow, what a beautiful moment.
Anything can happen.
For Roy McIlroy, who took 11 years to win another major after everybody said he was going to win every major every single year, and he never did.
That was a long time ago, though.
Meanwhile, Scotty Scheffler, one of the most cold-blooded killers in the golf game, has a four-stroke lead with one hole remaining over Harris English, and he's going to win his fourth major and will be a U.S. Open away from being a Grand Slam champion himself.
Scotty's Illuminati.
Dude, that guy is cold.
All of a sudden, like, within the last, like, 2 years, 3 years, like, he's been on this crazy...
run.
Yeah. Like, I went from never hearing Scottie Scheffler's name to all of a sudden, every single tournament, he's number one. Like, he sold his soul to somebody.
Well, what kills me is earlier this week, he was doing a press conference, and it was actually a really good answer that, you know, I'm sure we have the audio somewhere. It was like a 4-minute answer, but he just basically was like, man, like, I love to play golf. I love winning, but it's fleeting. Like, you know, I win, and then 2-3 minutes later, it's like, all right, where are we going for dinner? You know, and he sees the value in his life as being a great father and a great husband, and that, you know, he said something along the lines of like, the moment that golf starts affecting my relationship with my wife, starts affecting my relationship with my kids, is when I stop playing golf. And it was very much just, I saw some great responses where it was like, Nike, just do it. Scotty, but why though?
Yeah, for what?
Well, it's easy to say that when you're a millionaire that's already been on top of the world too. Like, he could literally quit today and go live on an island with his family. Like, it's not like he's working his ass off in some call center making 40 grand a year trying to grind it out, you know? It's a lot different when you say like, well, as soon as I leave this amazing job that everybody in the world wants to partake in, I focus on my family. It's weird.
No, but I think it's real.
I thought it was a really good answer. I think you should go and listen to it because it was real as far as like, you know,
I heard him. We look for a lot of guys
that are just have the killer mentality of like the Tom Brady's and the Tiger Woods Jordan's, and we respect that, but we also know those guys are psychopaths that have probably ruined a lot of relationships and teammates hated them.
I was just about to say, how many marriages has Michael Jordan been through?
No, that's
or
a good
how many
point.
Tiger Woods is on his how you know he's still on. I don't know what relationship this is for Tiger at this point.
Has Scottie Scheffler been chased with a golf club by his wife? No.
But I mean, to be this good for that long, there's a lot of sacrifice that comes with that. There's a lot of not seeing your kids. There's not a lot, you know. Going back to Dame, like, he could have went anywhere, but not being around his family, not being around him, that was the ultimate. More than winning any ring, more than anything, like, that's what's most important to me. And then when you see people around you that are 30-something, and they're passing away, and probably, I'm pretty sure, every other day I see my Facebook and somebody new is gone. damn, when did that happen? Whether it's a celebrity or whether it's somebody I personally knew, it's like, damn, man, that's terrible. And I think once you've got to reach the level of success that Scottie Scheffler has reached, you start really prioritizing, man, what's important. And you, that's golf money. That's a different type of bag that you're getting. So money is not a thing at this point. So you start figuring out, like, man, my family's important. My wife is important. My friends are important. Like, all those things like that. You would hate for a health situation or something like that to be the reason that you step in and start prioritizing stuff.
Also, I just think it's amazing that literally a few days ago, he's saying all that, like, basically, like, yeah, winning's great, but, like, you know, what's the point of it? Like, when it comes down to it, like, what is important in life? And then he goes out and he's going to win the Open by four strokes.
It's like, easy, it's for me. It's
exactly.
Easy.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Like, he's going through a crisis over here mentally.
It's Jordan going into retirement the first time.
Yeah.
Like, what else can I do here? I've already done everything. I'm the best player in the world. I've won three straight championships. Like, what else do I need to prove? Let me go ahead and be with my family. But there's always a point when all these golfers who are still in their prime, or all these athletes that are still in their prime, go, you know what? I think I'm ready to come back. Barry Sanders is the only one that retired gracefully. He's like, you know what? Don't need the Russian record. Don't need any of that stuff. I'm gonna call it quits here.
Well, Scottie Scheffler, he just teed off on the 18th hole. It's literally two golfers left, and he is one of them. And he stripes his tee shot right onto the fairway, and he will start to begin his walk up the 18th fairway to claim his fourth major championship. He now has two Masters green jackets. He has a PGA championship under his belt, which, oh yeah, he also won that this year. And he will now win the Open. He will have two major championships this year, four overall, which I don't know where it puts him in the ranking overall. I actually asked ChatGPT a few weeks back. I gave it, like, all this data. I'm like, hey, here's Scottie Scheffler's career so far. Can you give me a, like, realistic, like, career arc of, like, what is his career going to play out like? And it kind of gave me some estimations. It's like, if he continues on this tear that he's on, which is, you know, probably a, you know, not a fair estimation. It's like, if he's winning 5 to 6 tournaments a year for the next 10, 15,
yeah,
which is probably not going to happen. But the dude has the potential to finish, you know, on a conservative estimate with 8 to 9 major championships and with, like, 60 tour wins. Which is insane.
That's
dude.
Incredible, man. And you got to think about this. And you're a golfer, Joe. How good you have to be, how consistently good you have to be that great at golf. Like, yeah, to win that many tournaments. Like, you know, hitters go on slumps all the time. Pitchers go into slumps all the time, you know. But,
well, and let's be real, too, with golf, like, we have seen dudes have a solid 3-year, 4-year
sure,
run.
The
I mean,
VJ
Brooks,
Sings
Brooks
of the
Kepka
world and everything. Yeah,
was on
course.
Top of the world for a while. I mean, again, Rory, I mean, he won his first 4 majors in a 3-year span, and then he couldn't get it done for 11 years
they
after
They thought
that.
Rory was going to be the next Tiger. They even replaced Tiger on the video game with Rory McIlroy, yeah, because they figured, like, this was the new guy. Like, there are these short windows, and I can only think of, in my head, and you're – obviously, you're the aficionado here, but I can only think of 3 or 4 golfers for sure that had long, decade-long stretches of success, right? Tiger, obviously, Jack, I guess Phil Mickelson, you know, in between there. Honestly, I don't know a whole lot of golfers like that, that, like, man, for 10, 15 years, like, they were the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's all-time greats. Like, I got the major championship list up right now. Walter Hagen did it in the early 1900s. Ben Hogan in the 1940s.
Ben Hogan.
He won 9 majors from 46 to 53. I mean, that's less than a 10-year span, and that dude was winning.
Do they count
majors.
The senior opens and stuff, too? Or
no,
just
this
the...
is just – this is Masters, U.S. Open, the Open, and PGA.
Okay.
Just these. Gary Player, Tom Watson, but this is going to put him tied for 22nd with a lot of old dudes, like guys from, like, the 1800s even.
That's crazy.
And that's a different game.
But Ernie Els, he won 4 majors from 1994 to 2012.
Ooh.
But he wins one more, and then that puts him tied for 15th with Byron Nelson, with Brooks Koepka, who has 5, with Rory, who got his 5th this year. So, and yeah, I mean, who's to say at this pace, like, Yeah, I'm banking on him winning a fifth one. Yeah. I'm banking on him winning a sixth one. And I'm banking on him winning a seventh one.
How old is Scottie Scheffler? I'm looking at his hair, so he looks like he's a little old.
Yeah, he looks older, but I think he's like 28, 29.
Oh, yeah, then he's got some time.
Yeah.
I thought he was a grandfather.
He can win the Open probably like next year, right? The U.S. Open, I mean.
He's 20. He just turned 29 years old.
Oh, yeah, so. Okay. Well, live, young man.
He's not even in that, he doesn't even got that dad strength yet.
No, not yet. That's coming, though. And once he gets that, I don't know if dad strength is a good or bad thing in golf.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, it's old man game. That's a thing in golf.
Oh, for sure.
You got the old man game down.
Listen, shout out to my father-in-law, man. My man Don Lewis. He is one of the, he's got that old man game. And his golf game is, he would demolish
Let's
you,
get
Joe.
Out with Don sometime.
He would demolish you, Joe.
I'm down for it.
That's like, I mean.
I'm down to see old man golf game demolish my game any day of the week.
You've played with a lot of golfers. You play with those people that can just, wherever you want to point in the course. Oh, you want me to hit there? No problem. He's just wherever he wants to put the ball, that's exactly what he's doing. It's like it's really impressive to see, but super embarrassing because I'm not a golfer. So I'm shanking it left and right and every other which way, but he's just every single stroke that way.
You ever heard of shadow golf before?
I don't think so.
In the hot summer days, someone is good enough to where they can hit the ball to a shadow so that way they can stand in the shade.
Oh, that's him.
That's fantastic.
That's him.
It's like, I'm so good that I'm just going to hit my ball over there so that way I can be in the shade for my next shot.
That's for sure him. Absolutely.
All right, let's take a break. We're way over. We got a SportsCenter update coming here. We'll get back to some Blazer talk here next on 1080 Fan. But first, Schultzy, take it away. If you have some nasty assists, if you can throw some nasty passes, you got me. Like, I am like, you are one of my favorite players. Right,
that's
away.
All it takes, son, is being able to be a good passer.
You can throw some dimes. You can dish it, baby. Oh, yeah.
That's fair.
You got me. So when I saw what Yong Hansen was doing in these first few summer league games.
Hall of Fame.
Buddy.
Hall of Fame.
It did not take me long to be like, all right, I'm in. there was also part of me when the first couple assists, I'm like, don't do this. Don't do this to me. Whoop. Don't do this. And then he just kept doing it. And also just other parts of his game are he was looking good in summer league. I don't want to be a summer league overreactor, but I was loving what I was seeing from Yong.
Well, I'm going to do it. Championship next 2 years, cool. Man. Listen. Cool.
I love seeing the Bayless. Tweets that were like Dame saw Yong Hansen and in said, summer I'm league. Going was back, like, you know what?
Oh, I'm Lord. Going back to Portland. I think I could win with this. You know, here. Listen, man. It's hard to be excited about what you see in summer league. For instance, game one for Cooper Flag, not great, right? Game two for Cooper Flag showed you exactly who he was, quote unquote, and then that was all the Dallas Mavericks need to see. I saw all I need to see from Yang within his second game. You don't have to show me anything else. I get it. For me, I don't care about how you score right now. It's hard to score in the NBA, but once he figures it out, I think he'll be fine. Yao Ming in his first year in the NBA wasn't the best scorer. Had to figure it out, right? He had to figure out that this is much different than China. I can't just bully everybody around here because people've got muscle. They got girth. Like, it's one of those things.
Yeah, they do.
As soon as you, this guy, so immature over here at the Fan.
Hey, what are you talking about? I'm talking about NBA players, dude.
I saw
they're thick.
Yang run the break as a 7 foot, what, two?
I believe so. Yeah.
7 foot two center running the break and looking comfortable handling the ball, and then had a nice pass at the end of said break. There was another play which didn't result in the basket, but it was a highlight that we all saw, and it got blocked. Dribbles, two dribbles, spin drop move, gathers, and goes up. Now the shot was blocked. But the fact that he had this beautiful dribble spin move and everything, like, and you can see his teammates, and Joe's kind of alluded to it during the break, the teammates are saying, man, dunk that joint. Like, get up there, you dunk. As soon as he figures that part out, he's going to be great. But I don't necessarily look at the way people score, and that's important. I look at the way people move, especially when you're this tall with that type of footwork. Oh, he gets it. That's where the Jokic comparison comes from, is it's not necessarily his ability to score and do all that stuff. It's his court vision and his ability to move his feet. That's what makes him so much different than other lumbering. Donovan Clingan doesn't move like that. Donovan Clingan's also 7 foot two or whatever the case is, but he moves like he's 7 foot two. That's not the case with Yang Hansen. So I'm excited to see what he can bring to the squad. But also, we talked a lot about Scoot. I'm curious to see how this affects Donovan Clingan moving forward. Because you are, because now you're going to have a guy that you was projected to be one of the people that you were going to build around in Donovan Clingan. Now it doesn't necessarily look like that's going to be the case, because if he can have his defense catch up to where his offense might be, then Clingan might be odd man out in this situation.
Well, there's part of me that they both serve like different purposes.
For sure.
Like, I feel like when they're like games where Yong is getting cooked and we need more of that defense down low, it's like, all right, Donovan, you're going to get 25 to 30 minutes tonight, and Yong's only getting 15. And then there are nights where, like, dude, we need to generate some offense. We need someone to do something for us, make some plays. You know, defensively, we're playing great tonight. Yong is going to be playing 30 to 35, and Donovan is going to be playing 15, 20. Also, I mean, again, the conditioning aspect of Clingan, we got to see it for in this year and in the future, is he going to be able to play long minutes? There are examples last year. There's one-off games where, yeah, he did play 30, 35 minutes when Ayton was out, when he couldn't get down an ice-slicked road. So, yeah, I think that they're just going to both serve different purposes for this team. Could they be on the floor at the same time? Chauncey says no, but, I mean, the way that Yong is playing, you know, as a point center, you know, yeah, like,
I was going to say, what are the chances they go Twin Towers at a point and put them both in? And, you know, it's going to be hard for a lot of people to get easy buckets at the rim when you got 2 7-foot-2 guys that can erase shots. So that could be a thing. Chauncey said that. I don't believe him. I think there's definitely going to be a time, because of the way Yang can handle the ball and potentially score, like, that they will be on the court at some point, for sure.
I'm even more intrigued to now see him in regular season.
For sure.
Like,
I can't wait.
Seeing what he did in summer league, it's got my antennas up, and it's got me perked up a little bit more to see what that looks like in regular season against real NBA starters. May not look pretty at moments, but as far as my intrigue level, Blazers and Yong, they got me at least for the first 15 games.
I think for me, the only thing that I'm hoping for with Yong, and I'm gonna let you go, Jordan, is that, man, I want them to get him going early. If that's the thing, if he's got to be a guy that you want his confidence high immediately. So when he gets in the game, first 3 of the first 5 possessions, go into Yong, let him do his thing, and then we'll go from there.
I will say one quick thing about Yong. Love what I've seen so far in summer league, but hell, summer league is fleeting. Like, Nick Batum was ass in summer league. Then come training camp, he looked amazing. Jared Bayless,
yeah,
29 points a game in summer league, and then
trash.
Ended up being a very mediocre and trash.
Very nice.
So, like, we don't know, but I am excited seeing what I've seen so far. That passing, it does remind me of Sabonis-esque, like, just quickness a little bit,
yeah,
with where he gets the ball.
Yeah, and he just, and I'm also seeing it where they were talking about his IQ. Like,
yeah,
he knows how to play some damn basketball.
That's why he moves so well, I think.
Yeah, very good. He's, again, Jokic was
pointing guys to go certain places.
And can put the ball exactly, almost like a quarterback, can put it exactly where it needs to go. So I'm excited to see what he'd be able to do at the 5 spot for this Blazers squad.
At least we had stuff to talk about today, because the doldrums of summer and, you know,
it's starting to kick
my
in.
Apologies as a radio professional for not being here that much this summer. Where was I last week? Oh, I was in Seattle last week. That's right.
There actually haven't been the doldrums of summer, if you guys have noticed. It usually is that really slow time, but we've got the Hall of Fame game here in the NFL coming up, in a week and a half?
Yeah. That's right.
There's only 48 days till football season starts?
Like, we've
less
actually,
than that, if
less
you consider
that, yeah,
college football, my
yeah
man.
Yeah. No, we've actually managed to have, I would legitimately say, meaningful sports topics all through this, what is usually a lull. It's been a pretty crazy
one. Talking about this with a potential future advertiser.
Let's
fingers
go.
Crossed. They're like, well, probably not a lot of people listening on a sports station during the summer. And I'm like, oh, I do declare, sir.
Beg to differ.
Yeah. That shows you. Yeah. And I was telling, I was like, the day after the NBA draft is some of our most listened to shows. If you look at, not just ratings, but podcast downloads,
yeah,
our
YouTube
numbers.
Oh God,
like,
yeah,
it is, you know, and then you get news like this with Damian Lillard coming back to Portland, and then everybody's tuning in for the next few days. Like, it's, summer in Portland, On this station. It's a lot different than summer in some other areas in other markets around the country because, yeah, when it, being an NBA town, it is nice in that aspect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People actually care about the sport. Like, and I think we care about football, too, you know, especially as we get closer to the college season starting.
And then once we get an MLB team, dude, I mean,
it's going to be a wrap. We're going to talk baseball all the time.
Or add hockey into that, too. Once Blazers move outside of MOTA, they've got the Portland Fire and a hockey team playing at MOTA.
Let me ask you, which would you? I know you guys are both huge baseball nuts. But
yes, I'd rather have baseball than hockey.
I would also rather have baseball than hockey.
If you had to pick one.
And mind you, I love going to hockey games. Like, I got a chance to go to a Golden Knights game last time I was in Vegas. Like, hockey is awesome, right?
Summer's
you know what I mean?
In Portland for baseball.
But a Portland summer, a day like yesterday for a baseball game, like, come on, man.
On the Willamette or the Willamette, as we've heard so many not from here call it.
Now, I'd be getting a little burned. I'd have to put that sunscreen on. You see,
right.
The color I picked up?
Oh
yeah.
See the color I got yesterday?
You guys burned, man. That's crazy.
I mean, I'm native, so I get
like you're not your friend.
I had to use an umbrella yesterday at my son's soccer game. Like that is my life right now.
Was it the big Titleist golf umbrella?
No, it was it was my kid's mom. She's I don't even know why she brought it. She's half Filipino. She's just gonna tan. Oh no, me though. I'm getting burnt to a crisp. I'm like a lobster out there. But yes, yeah. Sign me up for baseball in MLB all day long, all day long.
Yeah, I can't wait. Hopefully it happens before I turn 50.
Well, Commissioner Rob Manfred said by the time he's done, so 27-28, he expects two expansion teams to be added to baseball, but we'll
be waiting until 2030, basically, until
5 years. Yeah, north of 40 at that point for me, so it'll be a wait.
Also, I don't know if you heard Rob talking about it a couple weeks ago. Apparently, Great Salt Lake is drying up, which is causing arsenic dust storms, which therefore is going to hurt the overall health of the people of Salt Lake City. And you should not be putting an MLB team in Salt Lake City if people are breathing arsenic dust clouds
makes
over
sense
the
to
next
me.
50 years. So.
And plus, who wants
hey,
to...
Hey, we just got a poop-filled river, all right?
And plus,
we ain't got dust clouds full of arsenic and harmful metals going into people's lungs,
Salt Lake City doesn't like fun.
Yeah,
they don't
you look at the water. It looks nice here.
Yeah. As long as there's a blue sky, you know, then it makes the water look blue. Well, yeah. Tune in this summer for the rest of basketball news and what's to happen and previewing NFL and college football. And I would say tune in to 1080 The Fan tomorrow.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Do that. I heard that, too.
Yeah. Tune in to 1080 The Fan tomorrow. Do that. Do that.
Definitely.
And tune in to us going forward. For Rashad Taylor, thank you as always.
Appreciate you, bro.
For Jordan Schultz, thank you as always.
Love you guys. Love you all.
And we will catch you next week at 9 a.m. right here on 1080 The Fan. Peace.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.